But that's the first part of the lesson I've learned, Dr. Paulson, that we're taking slow and careful steps.
Yes, we are, Miss Baxter.
Then first, may we have a definition of what a radiologist does? For this is Dr. Paulson's specialty, and he's in private practice in St. Paul, and a teacher of clinical radiology at the university.
I'm often asked that question, Miss Baxter. A radiologist is not a man that fixes radios. He's a medical specialist who deals with the uses of X-ray, radium, and radioactive isotopes in the diagnosis and treatment of disease.
When you came in this morning, I heard via the grapevine from the front desk that we had a Geiger counter in the building. I didn't believe it for a while. I thought, are we striking a uranium deposit in our basement? We've struck everything else. Then I found the Geiger counter was connected with your work. Now, how is it used?
Yes, I brought a Geiger counter along from the office. We use the Geiger counter to determine thyroid activity. That is, we test for goiter and certain allied conditions by using radioactive iodine. And in that respect, we have to use our Geiger counter.
Radioactive iodine. We know that iodine is a household material. When I was a youngster, we used to use it on cuts and bruises. It is a horrible color. It used to make us scream like crazy, and it burned. We were told the burning was good for us, that it was going to help us get better. We don't use iodine so much anymore. We use other things which are supposedly milder, and maybe they don't do as much good. But now you are using radioactive iodine. How do you...
First, let me say, Miss Baxter, that iodine is an important food material for the thyroid gland. And consequently, if we make iodine radioactive so that it can be detected with a Geiger counter, we can determine how much of it is picked up by the thyroid gland. Now, this radioactive iodine that we get comes from Oak Ridge, Tennessee. It's produced in the atomic pile, or atomic reactor, as we now call it. The same piece of equipment which was instrumental in producing the atomic bomb.
Can anything be made radioactive? Iodine, in what form is activated?
That gets a little complicated. It's a fission product of the uranium, but it is a form of iodine when it's finally purified from the atomic pile.
Well, can any other object be activated?
Almost anything can be made radioactive.
I see. Then how do you get it into the patient, in what form, so that you can watch what the thyroid gland does with it?
That's very simple. We take a small amount. It's in a liquid solution. We first measure with the Geiger counter to see how much we have in this little paper cup.
Uh-huh.
Then we give it to the patient to drink.
Lovely cocktail.
Yes. It has no taste.
Oh, that's good.
And 24 hours later, we use the same Geiger counter to determine how much of that has been picked up by the thyroid gland.
Uh-huh.
And then we just have a simple proportion. We know how much the normal thyroid gland picks up, and we also know what range we will find overactivity or underactivity of the thyroid gland.
Isn't that, in a sense, though, using a derrick to pick up a pin, haven't we always been able to determine the presence of goiter?
We've had...
Not always, but I mean in our generation.
For many years, we've had good methods of detecting goiter, Miss Baxter, principally the basal metabolism test that I'm sure many of the people of our audience have undergone. But as time went on, we found that there were certain fallacies in the basal metabolism test and certain errors, and doctors began to wish that there was something more accurate. Now, with this test, we have something considerably more accurate. In fact, this test is considered about 90% accurate, whereas the basal metabolism test is about 60% accurate.
All right, then it's not using a derrick to pick up a pin.
No.
All right. What about the detection of other diseases? Is radioactive material used in that? Now, and just a minute, before that question, when I heard that you were coming, Dr. Paulson, I was told that you were going to discuss isotopes in medicine. Do you think we ought to try to define an isotope, or shall we leave it alone? Or should you give us a manageable something so that when the men of our homes come home tonight, we can be so well informed that even they will be confused?
The definition of isotope itself becomes rather technical. Let's leave it at this, that The use of radioactive isotopes in medicine is the medical application of atomic energy.
I think that's fine, and that's about as much as we'll be able to understand of it. Now, you mentioned two particular things to me, Doctor. I'm sure there are others, but the most dominant ones you mentioned were diagnosis of goiter and treatment of, not cure of, but treatment of cancer by three different methods, three different minerals?
Isotopes.
Isotopes, all right. Would you explain that, please, how cancer is being treated now?
First, I might say that there are many other diagnostic applications of isotopes, too, but many of them are still in the experimental stage and not very practical. In the therapy, which means the treatment of cancer, we're using radioactive gold now, practically. We get this gold by airplane from Oak Ridge, Tennessee. It's in a liquid form, by the way, and we inject it into the chest and abdomen in the attempt to control certain types of spreading cancer.
You inject it in its liquid form?
That's right.
By needle?
Yes, with a needle.
How long is it left in the body?
It's left in there permanently because it disintegrates rather rapidly. After a few weeks, there's practically none of it left because it disintegrates.
Must re-inject?
Yes, we can re-inject then at a later date if necessary.
How much can the system take of that, Doctor?
Oh, at intervals of several months, can stand up to half a dozen or even more injections. But this is purely a means of trying to control cancer, which is already spread to a desperate extent. And unfortunately, these patients are already in pretty serious condition.
You can't then cure it. You can only hope to check its progress temporarily.
This particular application is merely an attempt to check the progress of cancer and not to cure it or to permanently control it.
How much research has been done on its efficacy so far for such a new process?
Over a period of about the last 5 years in various places in Europe and America, there's been considerable observation and experience with this particular method. It's been tried in at several different universities, at several veterans' hospitals, and is now being more and more used by private physicians.
Is it something that a private physician can use by himself, or does he call in a radiologist like you?
He calls in a radiologist to help because it is somewhat difficult to administer and requires a great many of safety precautions to protect those that are doing the administration.
Radioactive gold, then, is injected in liquid form. Dr. Paulson told me that radioactive phosphorus and cobalt are used as well. How and for what type of cancer is radioactive phosphorus used?
We use radioactive phosphorus, which is also in liquid form, and administered to the patient either by drinking or by needle into the vein, for treatment of a condition known as polycythemia, which means too many red blood cells. It's the best treatment so far devised for this disease and is actually a curative measure. It also can be used for treatment of leukemia.
Too many white cells.
That's right, too many white cells. And here again, it's a means of palliation, by which we mean a method of slowing up the progress of the disease, making the patients more comfortable, but not a cure of the disease.
And radioactive cobalt?
Cobalt is used in much the same way as deep therapy, X-ray machines, and radium. It's not administered like the ones that I've just mentioned.
Dr. Paulson, I feel much more familiar or at home with your field, not at all conversant with, but beginning to feel at home with. After all, we don't know, we lay people, how radium works either, and we don't know really how X-rays work, but we are comfortable with the use of the words, and we know something about the history of the material's uses. And it is obvious that this generation growing, and you young doctors, will make us more conversant with the uses of isotopes, which, to accept your simplest definition, is our method of putting atomic energy into medicine to help people survive.
That's correct, Miss Baxter, and I'm very happy to have been able to tell you a little about this today.
Thank you very much. You're going to meet Dr. Paulson on television this morning at 11 o'clock, and you're going to see his Geiger counter, too. We'll find out how much fissionable material there is in my fillings, no doubt, if he starts it working in the studio.